The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Welcome everyone to Tango Radio Show. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA, and today is February the 22nd, 2016. And I want to thank you all for listening today. We have a live show for you today. And before we get started, I would ask, you know, today was a very, very tough day for me today. And it just continued to, you know, I felt some things happening regarding friends and family this whole weekend. My whole spirit was disturbed and, you know, finding out that a good dear friend of mine has had a stroke. So I would just ask all the Tando Radio listeners and all of the praying people and all of just everyone in general, please send out your energy to my good friend Lynn and the whole family. And Lynn is a special person. Has been is a great person, wife, mother, grandmother, and just all around great individual in person. So I would ask that you please put out your prayers, put out your harmonic energy in towards our friend that's back in California, that the great creator's will be done, and that she can recover from this as soon as possible and without any other damage. And I would just ask that you all would agree with that, and that the great will of the great creator will be done, and there is no fear for anything. So just extend prayer and energy to the family of Lynn. Just want to do that. And love you, Lynn. Love you, Earl. And we are here for you. So, okay, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Please make sure that Black Talk Radio Network will always be here, because there's been so many things that we've lost in the past, and your overall contributions and your support of Black Talk Radio Network is so important. If you can make monetary donations, please do that. If you can donate your time, donate your professional services, donate, events that you are going to be out. Tell friends and family about Black Talk Radio Network, because it's so important that we do, because without it, we would not get as far as we're going to get. And this is one of the vehicles in which brings about your overall and our overall growth collectively. And this is so important. It's not about one person, two people, or a few people. It's about us in the collective movement and everything that the great creator, God Almighty, has made and has set forth to be creators themselves. So I would ask that you create a way for Black Talk Radio Network to maintain and to grow its direction. And it is incumbent upon you, other creators, to do that in accordance to what it has been beneficial to you with. You want to ensure that you are just like the great creator, is that you are a giver before and after everything else is said and done. Because the true meaning of love is when you stop living for yourself and you start living for the advancement of someone else. So let's support Black Talk Radio Network. Tell your friends, tell your family members about it. Make monetary donations. Donate your time. Make sure that this network is growing, as well as all of the programs that are here, as well as Candle Radio Show as well. Also, go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook and check out some of the articles that are posted there. Didn't have a lot of time to post things today. Sorry, I usually on a Monday, I usually get a lot of stuff out, but you know, I was just a little behind and was difficult to catch up, but we do have some things that are posted there that are very, very important. And we do have a live show for you today. And so with that, we're on Facebook. Check us out on Facebook. That's THANDO, Tando Radio Show. That's there. And we're going to go to some of the what's in the news. So let's take a look at what's in the news. Let me see what's well, a couple of double feeds. I hate I don't hate. I don't like and sometimes on Facebook it'll double feed a story. And if anybody is a shooter, they know when I said double feed, they know where I got that. But it sometimes will run the story twice. And sometimes three times, and I don't like when that happens. But let's go to Tando Radio Show. Let's see where we, what's going on and what's been posted. Since I didn't post much this weekend, and definitely didn't do that yesterday, kind of spent time with family, just sent out my energy and appreciation to Brother Shabazz, known as Malcolm X, for the anniversary of his great transformation that we will all make and looking forward to making, but from the standpoint that there is nothing to fear because you are eternal being. So didn't post much. I did post one thing that was very important, was from Dr. Will Hawkins. He has his GoFundMe campaign for helping the people of Flint filter their water. It's www.gofundme.com people for Flint. It is there. So check out that Dr. Hawkins video that's there, and check out the GoFundMe and support also Dr. Hawkins and everything that he's doing there in regards to getting filtered water and purifying and getting the lead and other toxins that are inside of the water that are actually destroying, killing, and preventing and diminishing the capability of Black people in general. But this is a design plan, and it's nothing more than the continuous depopulation program through soft kill operations. And that's exactly what this is. But those things can actually be mitigated by the great individuals, talents, and abilities that God Almighty has passed to us through our overall talents. And there's so many, and all of us are extremely talented, and we need to be using those talents for the overall progression and the overall development and growth of people. And this is what Dr. Hawkins exemplifies, and we all should be following and emulating that commitment, because that's what keeps us going and what will allow us to go from a class zero society to a class one society. So check out Doc Hawkins. And Doc Hawkins will be on sometime this week. Looking forward to talking to Doc Hawkins at the next opportune time. And check out his GoFundMe campaign and support Doc Hawkins also there. So then next we have posted this one today. This is very relevant. This one comes is Turkey, the president of Turkey, Erdogan said that Turkey has the right to conduct anti-terrorist operations inside of Syria. Are you kidding me? But yes, no joke. Check out this video that's posted there and hear what he said himself and the response that is, this thing is really, really growing to a situation that will bring about global nuclear war. And that's exactly what I wrote I said, really listen to what's being said here. The Syrian situation is a perfect place and is one of the multiple triggers for global war. But I would add now it's going to be global nuclear war because of all of the parties that are involved there. This is not anything we should be ignoring. And it's only one thing, but don't focus just on this because there's going to be a multifaceted approach to this depopulation program that is going on as we speak right now. And we just want you to be able to remove yourself, your family, and our community, and hopefully people throughout the world will understand that they don't have to engage and they don't have to be led to slaughter and they don't have to participate and they don't have to be domesticated to providing their way of life for someone else's means of life and to go on as living as property of someone else. And no one should be property of someone else. It doesn't mean that no one will, because you will if your will desires that and allows that. So we have to change our will. So check out this video that's there. Very, very important. We're going to touch on some of that today. Next, I put this one inside of Tando Radio Show. This comes from TradingFloor.com. And McCormick Terry, I said, this is for the Forex traders among us. Okay, let's play this to our favor. Everyone, if you are, one of the things is that we are moving into an opportunity for everyone. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. As long as you are of an age of comprehension, and it doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you are of age of comprehension, everyone could be in the Forex market. And this is one of the ways that you should be gaining cash into your household in order for you to prepare for what's coming and to leverage and position yourself accordingly. And this is what we're going to be doing. And we're actually had a conference call on Saturday. It was a very, very successful conference call that was on Saturday. If you weren't able to make that conference call, if you would like to get that the conference call number for that conference call that we had on Saturday regarding the iMarkets Live International.com trading platform and what it's all about, you can send me a message or send a message via Facebook through Tando Radio Show, or you can send me a message personally, David Wren, or you can send one, email me at Gmail. Excuse me, at wolf6pack1@gmail.com, or you can text me 951-790-8330, and I will get you that information. Great, great information. And I will say this before we go on in this. Why is this so important? One of the things with this trading is that you've always heard me say, don't really hear what I'm saying here, because it's key that you understand exactly letter for letter from what I'm saying. They are going to collapse the common person's economy. They are not going to collapse the economy. What does that mean? The institutional function that was derived by the economy so that they can take from you, that system is going to continue to happen. But what is going to collapse is the everyday person, the common man and woman, and the common person, and the common human being and living spirit that is human that's here. Their economy is going to be, they're going to collapse that economy. They're going to collapse your savings, your job opportunities. They're going to collapse your pension funds. They're going to collapse your way of life and your standard of living. They're going to collapse your savings. They are going to collapse the energy of your past labor. And they're going to subjugate the future labor even further. That is what's going to collapse. And what does that really mean? If you learn the different things where you can be solvent and self-sufficient, then it doesn't matter what they do. One of the things with the market, and this is one of the old sayings in the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent. The key is, do you know how to stay solvent? There is definitely, definitely a plan, a path, and a way to stay sovereign and solvent, regardless of the economic direction of the economy, especially one that is targeting and attacking the everyday person. Pretty soon there are going to be no jobs, but there's going to be plenty of work that needs to be done. And what we're doing with this Forex trading platform, it has proprietary systems and proprietary algorithms that no one else has that you can use to your benefit. And we are going to be doing this collectively together. And we are going to keep and hold ourselves accountable for the appropriate time while we continue to learn to save. Because what they taught you about saving is totally wrong. Learn to save so that you can leverage and protect yourself so that when the common person's economy collapses, you'll have the leverage to come in and to get assets for pennies on the dollar. Because if you don't do it, you won't have the pennies in order to get, I mean, you won't have the dollars to control what the pennies will hold. And that's so, so important. So if you're interested in doing that, we'll talk about this just before we get out of here today, why this is so good, because there's a couple of things that this will definitely come upon. This is a great opportunity, regardless of who you are within, as long as you are a person of comprehension, that you can actually have another stream of income and revenue coming into your house and into your possession so that you can do the proper and necessary things in preparing for what's coming. Do not be like the rest of the traders that are nothing more than gamblers. There's a difference between a trader and a gambler. You have to know that first and foremost. Just like there's a difference between a saver and someone that is just depositing something. Huge, huge difference. So check out this article right here. And it talks about the Brits, Brexit, which means the British exit from the euro, what it really means. This is something every trader, Forex trader, definitely needs to know. Next article we have comes from whitehouse.gov. And it says, remarks by President Obama at the U.S. ASEAN press conference. And this was last week. I didn't want to play it last week at Rancho Mirage in California. They had a meeting of some of the ASEAN nations came for a conference, a summit in California. Very, very important. We're going to look at that and play that video because there's some very, very pertinent and important things that was said there that you need to know. And so I just posted the overall transcripts from that right there inside of Tando Radio Show. Next, we have the EU. This is President of France. EU nations with far right in power could be suspended. EU nations with far right in power could be suspended. This is what Francisco Hollande of France said. What do you see going on here? What's the far right? That is the politically correct way to say the Nazis. Just like you hear about the neocons here in the United States, that is nothing more than the Nazis. Just like you hear about in Israel, it escaped me right now. Forget the far, far right in Israel. That's nothing more than a politically correct way to say the Nazis. And this is where we are, and this is where this world is going. And you need to know that. And the reason why all this stuff always catches us off guard is because we know nothing about history. We don't study history, and we don't understand the enemy that is before us because they have confused us not to be able to know ourselves. That is where the root of the problem really is. And once we mitigate that and not use the same consciousness that they use to create the problem, basically so you don't mirror, emulate, or act or make decisions just like them, because now you have some people with some good intentions, but then they end up doing and acting just like the overall system itself and exploiting and taking advantage of people. One of the things that we must understand within our community is that we cannot become what we had to endure. It's so, so important. And I'm not saying where we bow down to anything. Far from that. You protect everything by all of the necessary measures in which it is to protect it. But what it is that you never become what you've had to endure. And I'm pretty sure that you all understand that. And there's a lot of that going on, and I'm purposely done. And that purposely happens because, guess what? That is nothing more than the actual enemy that has infiltrated your minds, the minds of the people, and have distorted them from seeing what the true meaning of life and prosperity is. And they've offered them a deal, and they've accepted it. So, very, very important. Check out this article. It's telling you where we're going and what you need to really be preparing for. And what you need to be preparing for is going to be a global war. And I do believe it's going to be one of a nuclear nature, both tactical nukes and traditional destructive nukes. They are definitely different, but either way it goes, it's still radioactive isotopes that are destroying the human body. But the global war against the people through the depopulation and soft kill program has already started and has gone full blown. We don't need to wait to see the crisis. A lot of people say, well, when are we going to see it? It already happened in so many different ways, but one of the primary ways is through Fukushima. Fukushima and all of the other isotope leaking, radioactive isotope leaking plants of destruction, the New Age concentration camps. That's what these nuclear power plants are. They're nothing more than the New Age revolutionized concentration camps and the former ovens of the Nazis themselves, because the Nazis were a actual cult that practiced a very demonic rituals very demonic rituals that they were actually doing. And those demonic rituals continue to go on and spread today and in so many ways, but they try to trick you through propaganda so that you won't see what the true intent is. But when you know history, you start to do one of the most important things that you could do is ask questions. Once you start asking questions, you become a threat. When you ever notice, whenever you come across a person, particularly a coward, or particularly a person of great ignorance a person that is not sincere, whenever you start to ask a question, you become one in which is challenging their overall existence as a person. That's because they're completely shallow and misguided and evil in most cases to the root. Evil never likes to be challenged, because the challenge is what destroys, neuters, and annihilates evil. Any challenge. So we all must become the rightful challengers and understand what it is that our overall life's design is. And that is to be prosperous and to have collective prudence and to create not to go to heaven, but actually to create the heaven that we have here, but the one that we have now so often is the hell on earth. That needs to change. So check out that article. Next one. This one from Bloomberg. Fannie Mae to pay U.S. $2.9 billion on fourth quarter profits. Check this out. Why is this so important? Basically, in this one, you can tell that Fannie Mae is going to collapse and need another bailout by way of bail-ins this time. Reason why, check this article out, and you'll see. Pulling it up as we speak, Here it is, in the first couple of parts of the article from Bloomberg. First year's net income fell $11 billion from $14.2 billion. CEO reiterates Watts, warning over future housing finance. And this is from Fannie Mae to pay U.S. $2.9 billion on fourth quarter profits. Fannie Mae, the government-controlled mortgage company, will pay the U.S. Treasury Department $2.9 billion after reporting a net income of $2.5 billion for the fourth quarter. They're going to have to pay out $2.9 billion after a net income of $2.5 billion. That tells me that you're in deficit. The company, which was placed under conservatorship, along with a smaller rival Fannie Mae during the 2008 financial crisis, will have to return $147.6 billion in dividends to the federal government, according to a regulatory filing Friday. Washington-based Fannie Mae has received $116.1 billion from the Treasury since 2008. Since 2008, $116.1 billion. The company reported a positive net worth of $4.1 billion as of December 31st. The company reported a positive net worth of $4.1 billion as of December 31st. The two mortgage finance giants are required to turn over all profits above a minimum net worth threshold. The payment counts as a return on the U.S. investment and not as a repayment of the aid. Excuse me. Leaving no extending, let me move this down. Leaving no exiting mechanism for them to go to exit government control. Fannie Mae 2015 net worth was $11 billion, down from $14.2 billion in 2014. One reason for the decline was higher income in 2014 following a settlement agreement on a lawsuit related to private label mortgage relative securities sold to Fannie Mae. The $2.5 billion net worth for the fourth quarter was up from $2 billion in the 3 months ending in September the 30th. So what is going on here? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to continue to have problems that they're going to require some assistance from you, the general population. And one of the things about is so funny about the bailout package that they gave these companies. A lot of people didn't realize that it wasn't the bailout that was the intention. That was the trick, the deception. It's all a part, when you go to war against people, is you deceive what your true intentions are. It wasn't bailout that was the real emphasis. It was the bail-in. And they always start years and years in advance for their methodical approach to trick, deceive, and to steal from you and to coerce you into thinking, into worshiping them and their overall systems. The key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. And they wanted you to believe that there was a financial crisis that the American taxpaying people needed to bail out. You have already been bailed out and bailed in years and years and years ago once they started taxes. That's the facade of everything. You look at where does the labor of your taxes go? Where does the fruit of your labor go as far as in currency wise to the government? You don't know. They tell you it goes to this support, that support. And while the whole infrastructure of everything around you is falling apart, you don't see it. They've already deceived you. And they always pull a rabbit out of the hat. So check out this article, let you know where we are, and this is the reason why we need to prepare and position ourselves accordingly for what's going on. Next article comes from, this one comes from a Greek paper, and it is government plans for forced use of cards run into markets failure to adapt. This is a really good one. Basically, check out this article. Talk about this real quick. because this is a part of the global capital controls that are going on as we speak. And these capital controls are going to continue to expand everywhere. So, but check out this article. It says Greek businesses are not ready for the expansion of plastic money through the compulsory use of credit and debt cards for everyday transactions. The government has told taxpayers that they will have to spend up to a certain amount of their income via bank and credit card transactions in order to qualify for annual tax-free exemptions. However, a large proportion of stores still don't have the credit card terminals or the points for sale equipment required for card payment. While plastic is accepted by very few doctors, plumbers, electricians, lawyers, and others who tend to account for their lion's share of tax evasion records in the country. A recent study by the Foundation of Economic and Industrial Research, the IOBE, shows that an increase in use of cards for everyday transactions could increase state revenue by anything between 700 million and 1.6 billion euros per year, and that the market's poor preparation means that the tax burden has been passed on to lawful taxpayers. Basically, this is it. This is the trick and the deception. They want to say that there are crimes being committed, because you know what their crimes is that you are not providing for their means of life by your way of life. And how do they want to do that? They want to remove the ability for you to use cash anonymously or to have any medium of exchange anonymously in the overall trading world. When they didn't create it, they just created the manipulation of it. And this is what they're going to do. And they're going to give you all kinds of fraudulent reasons as to why. They're going to say, oh, it's terrorists. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. They're going to create all these boogeymans. And what they're really wanting to do is place you inside of the trap so that you can never, ever get out. But we are resilient people. We always come up with things. If you need to use your credit cards and everything else, so be it. But what I would say is make sure that you are able to transfer a medium of exchange outside of a digital world, because that's where they really control you. You won't be able to do anything. This is why I tell you always that you've always been under the mark of the beast, and they just want you to keep looking for it. Because if you keep going on that Easter egg hunt, you keep going on that scavenger hunt looking for the mark of the beast, you'll never see that it's in your pocket, it's in your bank account, it's on your card, it's on your receipt, it's on your purchase, and it's on your credit and billing. That is the mark of the beast, known as the man-made economy. And we have a man-made economy because we've neglected and walked away from God's ecosystem. So check out that article. Well, hurry up and get to this so we can get to the show. Next, the ban on cash gathers momentum. Thanks, Brother Bragg sent this one in. Really good one. This one comes from yournewswire.com. Check out that article. I need to know that. Brother Bragg, give me a call, man. We got to have you on sometime this week. And don't hesitate to call in, Brother Bragg. All right. Next we have, this is another one, U.S.-Russia reaches deal on ceasefire in Syria to begin February the 27th at midnight. This comes from RT. One of the things about these ceasefires is when they have these ceasefires, it really is more of a getting closer in the movement to the war, because all of the ceasefires are always, always violated, and they always violate them and go into a even further engagement. So this gives you indication that things are starting to get really hairy. So next one comes from RT also. This comes from, talked about Apple CEO Tim Cook told staffers in an email Monday that the world's second most valuable company will not set a dangerous precedent. You're right. Complying with the FBI would be a dangerous precedent, Apple CEO email to staff recently. Let me tell you this. They already have a backdoor to all of that technology. They want to trick you to make you think that somebody has your best interest at hand. Let me ask you, do you know enough to protect your overall? Are you a hacker where you can tell if someone hacked you? Are you outside of that? No. So you're going to have to take somebody's word for it. And one of the tricks that they always do is they always give you a good cop, bad cop. And they both work for the same organization. They always give you a Democrat and a Republican. They always give you a politician and a preacher. But they all work for the exact same organization. So they always give you a business person and a disenfranchised person. And they, a lot of times, work for the same organization. So check out this article. Very telling. Next one, Pentagon mercenaries, Blackwater, Al-Qaeda. What's in the name? Check this one out from RT. Really good article. This next one, got to hurry up here. This is comes from financialcensus.com. It says, Bert Dahlman is uber bearish, and here's why. This is a very good financial sense. This is a very, very good article you should definitely check out. Next one comes, Iraq on the brink of chaos as oil revenue falls. This is a part of the progression towards global war that's being pushed here. Check out that article also. Next one, this is a really, really important one, and it's a part of today's show. And this one comes from NPR.org. Facing severe food shortages, Venezuelans push urban gardening. This is, I'm going to tell you, this is what you really need to learn from. And we're going to talk about this, what's going on in Venezuela. In Venezuela, bread, meat, milk, and other staples are scarce these days. So the Venezuelan government is urging urban slum dwellers to grow and raise their own food. This is so telling of what is coming throughout the world. This is a part of the global war that we're going to see. Next one, and we'll talk about this one a little bit later with the Venezuelan food shortage. You need to know because it's actually going to let you know what's going on with your life. U.S. and Israel begin large-scale military exercise. This comes from yournewswire.com. Israel and the United States have begun a large-scale military exercise as a part of their, check out that article, global war expansion there. Then I put in today what today's show is going to be about. Today's show is going to be about Venezuela is showing and giving great warnings as to the future struggles that will intensify here in the United States. Last week, that the president hit at some very disturbing events that will take place in the Middle East, which will lead to the global nuclear war, is the question. And I would say, yes, we need to know what that is. Next one. This is the last one. This comes from Spiegel, .de. Putin versus Erdogan. NATO concern over possible Russian-Turkey hostilities. Read that. We're going to talk about some of that when we come back out of the break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. When we come out of the break, definitely we will bring you some of the things, and we're going to talk about what was said last week, and we're also going to look at what's going on in Venezuela. Having some computer problems here. And just bear with me. Need to get back in. And we're going to talk about Venezuela. Why is that relevant for you? And what it means for you and your family? And why is it so important that you really, really start to engage in your own sovereignty? And you're going to have to develop your own economy itself and fund it, and so that you can protect yourself and your family. Okay, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. Give me 1 second. Having a couple of little issues here. There we go. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's show. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 54, 90, 32 pound, then hit star 61, and I will definitely bring you up. Listen to Candle Radio Show. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. We're getting ready to go to, I want you to hear what was said by the CEO of the Corporation of America, known in as the President of the United States. This was said in Rancho Mirage, California, last week at the ASEAN nations. The ASEAN nations are a very, very key strategical trade alliance where over 75% of the world's goods come out of either manufacturing or directly tied into the ASEAN nations. And this is a coalition of countries. And what that means, I want you to particularly listen to the part about Russia, Scalia, and it was one more. And the in the South Sea of China. Sorry. Really pay attention to that, and I'm gonna cut it off after that so that you can hear telling you some things that are very, very important. So that you know. And they're gonna talk first about the South Sea of China incident. And then he's gonna talk about Scalia. Then it's going to talk about Russia. Very, very important. Guess what? They are all intertwined together. So let's go to, in my opinion, let's go to this and so that you can hear it, and we'll talk about this afterwards. Here we go. 1 second. Thanks, Scotty. I know you got it late, bro. Thanks a lot. Here we go.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let me begin by thanking the Annenberg Foundation Trust. Everyone here at beautiful Sunnyland and the people of Rancho Mirage for their incredible hospitality these past few days. I have hosted foreign leaders here before, but another host leaders from 10 nations at the same time, and I want to thank everybody who helped make the summit such a success. But for 50 years, leaders and people across Southeast Asia have worked together through ASEAN to advance the mutual security, prosperity, and dignity. For decades, the United States has been a proud partner with ASEAN. And this summit has built on the unprecedented cooperation we've forged over the past 7 years, as I described yesterday. This spirit, working together on behalf of mutual interests, mutual respect, guided our work over the past 2 days. So I especially want to thank my fellow leaders from the ASEAN countries for being here, for their commitment, and for the progress that we've made together. One of my main messages over the past 2 days has been the commitment of the United States to ASEAN and its people. That commitment is and will remain strong and enduring. With our strategic partnership, we have a framework to guide our ties to the country. Here at Sunnylands, we agreed to a number of key principles, including the principle that ASEAN will continue to be central, in fact, indispensable, to peace, prosperity, and progress in the Asia Pacific. We If ASEAN speaks with a clear, unified voice, it can help advance security, opportunity, and human dignity. Not only for the more than 600 million people across ASEAN, but for people across the Asia Pacific and around the world. I'm pleased this year at this summit, ASEAN's strong voice allowed us to make progress on multiple fronts. First, we agreed to do more together to encourage the entrepreneurship and innovation that are at the heart of modern competitive economies. We had an excellent discussion with a number of pioneering business leaders who reiterated the recipe for attracting trade and investment. Rule of law, transparency, protection of intellectual property, efficient customs, modern infrastructure, e-commerce and the free flow of information, support for small and medium-sized businesses, and perhaps most importantly, investment in people. Investment in strong schools to educate and train the next generation. Around the table, there was widespread recognition that this is the path ASEAN countries need to continue on. If they do, it will create even more opportunities for trade and investment between the U.S. and ASEAN countries. I affirmed our strong support for the ASEAN community and pledged that the United States will continue to be a partner in ASEAN's efforts to integrate economies and reduce barriers to trade and investment. I'm also announcing a new initiative, U.S.-ASEAN Connect, a network of hubs across the region to better coordinate our economic engagement and connect more of our entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses with each other. We're also doing more
I bet those will be CIA hubs. Just wanted to, a little commentary there. Basically moving towards, in my opinion, this is talking about, this is why I said the South Sea of China is going to be a key position for this global war. And they are making the bed for that as we speak right now. And this speech is really, really giving key and notice and validating that. So go back to it. I'm gonna cut in a couple other times, but very, very important thing.
To help aspiring innovators in the region learn English, the international language of business. And I reiterated that the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which includes four ASEAN members, can advance economic integration across ASEAN and set stronger rules for trade throughout the Asia Pacific. To that end, we've launched a new effort to help.
Okay, real quick, I wanted to say, Trans-Pacific Partnership, only four ASEAN nations. This is where the total ultimate fascist state, where corporations supersede the governmental laws or so-called the rights that the government gives you. Because, see, those have never been, see, rights are something that can be taken away from you. Sovereignty has to be surrendered. Okay, so this is what the Trans-Pacific Partnership is really trying to engage in ASEAN, and that is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So, and because that is nothing more than the continuance and the ultra fascist rule. Who else was fascist in nature? Well, nothing more than the Nazis themselves and all of their cohorts and affiliates. They had a fascist style of governing where the corporations made all of the rules and the laws. And it never, ever walked away since. It's only grown, especially here. So here we go. We're going back to it.
Launch a new effort to help all ASEAN countries understand the key elements of TPP, as well as the reforms that could eventually lead to them joining. Second, with regard to security. The United States and ASEAN are reaffirming our strong commitment to a regional order where international rules and norms and the rights of all nations, large and small, are upheld. We discussed the need for tangible steps in the South China Sea to lower tensions, including a halt to further reclamation, new construction, and militarization of disputed areas. Freedom of navigation must be upheld, and lawful commerce should not be impeded. I reiterated that the United States will continue to fly, sail, and operate wherever international law allows. We will support the right of all countries to be the same. We will continue to help our allies and partners strengthen their maritime capabilities, and we discuss how any disputes between claimants in the region must be resolved peacefully through legal means, so such as the upcoming arbitration ruling under the UN Convention of the Law of the Seas.
Okay, stop. The UN Convention of the Laws of the Sea. Talked about this before. This is known as LOST. And this is how Flint and the Detroit area and all of the waterways in the United States have lost their overall control. And the actual international waters around the United States and all of the so-called waters in within the borders in the 48 and including Alaska is no longer the known as territory or property of the United States. It all belongs to by way of the laws of the sea treaty. And right here, you just heard what he said. He was basically attacking China and saying that they will go wherever they want to go and that they will ensure that there is no more militarization or building up and that the commerce ways will be open in the South Sea of China. What do you think China's response to this will be? Well, China's response was that they put surface-to-air missiles, advanced surface-to-air missiles, throughout some of the South Sea of China's and the disputed islands that are there. They are basically establishing a no-fly zone, and they've already going to establish a no-sail zone. And then now they just said that they will challenge, they will go where they want to go, and they will establish rules there for commerce, trading, and everything else. And this is in the South Sea of China. What makes you think China is going to allow you to do that? China is positioning itself for the appropriate time, but once again, remember, all of these governments are in one big fraternity against you and I. They give the perception, but you need to see it from that standpoint so that then you can start to see the progression of it to where they're all against us. And it's just us, ourselves. And we have to take back the world's resources and be able to have collective prudence and have access for everyone, regardless of who they are, their fair share. In God's ecosystem, you never pay for your birthright. But by man's economy, you never not pay because it's not your birthright. Your birthright was surrendered upon your birth. So let's continue to listen what this is. I'll try not to cut in, but it's some very, very important stuff that's being said. It's basically saying that there will be military confrontation there, and they will be the aggressors of it. This is huge. Here we go.
Law of the seas, which the parties are obligated to respect and abide by.
They expect it. Ooh.
I made it clear that the United States will continue to stand with those across Southeast Asia who are working to advance rule of law, the governance, accountable institutions, and the universal human rights of all people. We continue to encourage a return to civilian rule in Thailand. We will sustain our engagement with the people of Myanmar if the new president is elected and if they work to implement the ceasefire agreement and move forward with national reconciliation across the region.
It's amazing how this colonizing state says and tries to give off the appearance that there is some form of a democratic process when they actually cause and destabilize areas so that they can have a colored revolution and that they can go in and take out the people that they don't want there and put in the individuals that do. And I'm going to tell you who knows what happens. A lot of sometimes these politicians have a come to Jesus moment for a better, you know, sometimes a reference or a way of thinking. So where now all of a sudden that they come to decide that they don't want to participate anymore or they're expendable because these are nothing more than celebrity figureheads and they met their means and they're instructed that they're supposed to take this route and not even know that that route is where they're going to be cut off for the overall good of the system. And they still think that they're a part of the whole darn thing. The thing about the devil is you can never make a deal with the devil without losing your soul. Let's go back.
Across the region will continue to stand with citizens and civil society and defend their freedom of speech, of assembly, and of the press. No one, including those in political opposition, should ever be detained or imprisoned simply for speaking their mind. We only sign these projects, and it makes it harder for countries to truly thrive and prosper. And finally, the United States and Austria.
Oh, wait, I had to cut there. Wait. Isn't this the same government with the same people that established the Patriot Act and NDAA, where you can be taken without cause, without explanation, without anything, and not be heard of again? See, these people put on a show at all times. We need to not listen to what they say, but look at what they do. Their creed and their deed never, ever go together. They are nothing more than great singers, but they have no real song. So, let's go back.
Finally, the United States and ASEAN are doing more to deal with transnational challenges today. I offered our assistance to help ASEAN countries better leverage Interpol data to prevent the flow of foreign terrorist fighters. We agree that implementing the Paris Climate Change Commission, including helping developing countries adapt to and mitigate the impacts of climate change, will be critical and that will enable them to leap ahead to new and affordable clean energy. As we pursue our sustainable development goals, we're launching a new competition, an innovation challenge, to encourage students across ASEAN to develop new solutions to produce agriculture. We're moving ahead with our global health security agenda to prevent future epidemics, and I pledge additional U.S. assistance to help ASEAN combat the horror of human trafficking. So to sum up, I believe the summit has put the U.S.-ASEAN partnership on a new trajectory that will carry us to even greater heights in the decades ahead. America's foreign policy rebalance to the Asia-Pacific, including Southeast Asia, will continue to be a foreign policy priority of my presidency. I look forward to visiting Vietnam for the first time in May and to becoming the first U.S. president to visit Laos when it hosts the East Asia Summit in September. I'm confident that whoever the next president may be will build on the foundation that we place because there's strong, sustained bipartisan support for American engagement in the Asia Pacific region. And through our Young Southeast Asian Leaders Initiative, our investment in young people, business success, civil society, and grassroots leaders across the region, I believe will further bind us together in a spirit of partnership and friendship for many years to come. So with that, let me take a few questions, and I'm going to start with Darlene Superville of the Associated Press. Where's Darlene?
Thank you, Mr. President. My question is about the Supreme Court. What recourse do you have if Leader McConnell blocks the vote on your Supreme Court nominee? And do you think that if you choose someone moderate enough that Republicans might change course and schedule a vote? And as you consider just that choice and who to nominate, what qualities are important to you and his diversity among them? Thank you.
First of all, I want to reiterate heartfelt condolences to the Scalia family. Obviously, Justice Scalia and I had different political orientations and probably would have disagreed on the outcome of certain cases. But there's no doubt that he was a giant on the Supreme Court, helped to shape the legal landscape. He was, by all accounts, a good friend and loved his family deeply.
You know, amazing. These dudes are all alike. All these politicians. Politically correct is never morally right. They're always alike. You know, first we talked about, he joked when he knew, of course, you were going to, in a joking way, knowing what that all was about. Talked about Scalia, even though I didn't agree with, and I understand that he was a part of the whole system, but he was expendable because he served a purpose. And he said that he was going to be challenged, he would be challenging some of the things that he would be doing. But see, this is the one thing. They always kill me. No, they always kill me. But one of the things that always get me is that they try to act like they really care about someone and they can't even lie through their teeth. They said, he said, I love his family. Well, looks like the evidence is that the man was assassinated. And he was assassinated for good reasons, because maybe somebody wasn't going along with the program, especially for what was coming once we go into this global war. And I didn't agree with Scalia on a lot of things, because I didn't agree with any, because that's a monarchy that you have in the Supreme Court. But the thing about it was that he was, one thing was that he was not going to allow the people to lose their right to bear arms. And he went against the agenda that way. He became a very formidable threat to them, because he wouldn't budge. So what did they do? Move them out the way. So here we go.
It's important before we rush into all the politics of this to take stock of somebody who made many contributions to the United States. We're grateful not only for his service, but for his family's service. The Constitution is pretty clear about what is supposed to happen. When there's a vacancy on the Supreme Court, the President of the United States is to nominate someone. The Senate is to consider that nomination. And either they disapprove of that nominee, or that nominee is elevated to the Supreme Court. Historically, this has not been viewed as a question. There's no unwritten law that says that it can only be done on off years. That's not in the constitutional text. I'm amused when I hear people who claim to be strict interpreters of the Constitution suddenly read into it a whole series of provisions that are not there. There's more than enough time for the Senate to consider in a thoughtful way the record of a nominee that I present and to make a decision. And with respect to our process, we're going to do the same thing that we did with respect to Justice Kagan's nomination and Justice Sotomayor's nomination. We're going to find somebody with an outstanding legal mind, somebody who cares deeply about our democracy and cares about rule of law. There's not going to be any particular position on a particular issue that determines whether or not I nominate them, but I'm going to present somebody who indisputably is qualified for the seat, and any fair-minded person, even somebody who disagreed with my politics, would say, would serve with honor and integrity on the court. Now, part of the problem that we have here is we've almost gotten accustomed to how obstructionist the Senate's become when it comes to nominations. Now, I've got 14 nominations that have been pending that were unanimously approved by the Judiciary Committee. So Republicans and Democrats on the Judiciary Committee all agreed that they were well qualified for the position. And yet, we can't get a vote on those individuals. So in some ways, this argument is just an extension of what we've seen in the Senate generally, and not just on judicial matters. The basic function of government requires that the President of the United States, in his or her duties, has a team of people, cabinet secretaries, assistant secretaries, that can carry out the basic functions of government. It requires, the Constitution requires, that we appoint judges so that they can carry out their functions as a separate branch of government. And the fact that we've almost grown accustomed a situation that is almost unprecedented, where every nomination is contested. Everything is blocked, regardless of how qualified the person is, even when there's no ideological objection to it. Certainly, where there's no disqualifying action by the nominee to the surface. The fact that it's that hard, that we're even discussing this, is, I think, a measure of how.
Okay, now, isn't it amazing? The one the one so-called Supreme Court justice, which I don't believe in any of the systems, is the one that, in this world of all of a sudden all these mass shootings all over the place, the one justice that is against the government trying to, the very same people when this guy is talking about how we're reading into or trying to change, and it's clear that what the Bill of the Constitution says. Well, in the Bill of Rights, it says that the Second Amendment can't, you know, shall not be infringed. And they're trying to infringe it in all forms in every way. But isn't it funny, in all of these mass shootings, all of a sudden, it goes a part of their agenda. Watch who gets appointed here. It's going to be someone that is mildly wants gun control, but in actuality, this is going to be the hook in which to try to get rid of that. And they're going to say, by way of the Constitution and by way of the Supreme Court justice, that they change. This is a pawn's move trying to get to be a queen. So finish this out. And then I will open up the lines for calls, because Brother Braggs, I'll go to you in just a minute. I just finished playing this out. Here we go.
Well, unfortunately, the venom and rancor in Washington has prevented us from getting basic work. Now, this would be a good moment for us to rise above that. I understand the stakes. I understand the pressure that Republican senators are undoubtedly under. And the fact of the matter is that the issue here is that the court is now divided on many issues. This is the deciding vote. And there are a lot of Republican senators who are going to be under a lot of pressure from various special interests and various constituencies. Many of their voters could not let any nominee go through, no matter who I got. But that's not how the system is supposed to work. It's how our democracy is built. And I intend to nominate in due time a very well qualified candidate. If we are following basic precedent, then that nominee will be presented before the committees, the vote will be taken, and ultimately they'll be confirmed. Justice Kennedy, when he was nominated by Ronald Reagan, in Ronald Reagan's last year in office, the vote was taken. There are a whole lot of Democrats who I'm sure did not agree with Justice Kennedy on his position on a variety of issues. But they did the right thing. They confirmed him. And if they voted against him, they certainly didn't mount a filibuster to block a vote from even coming up. The Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. It's the one court where we would expect elected officials to rise above day-to-day politics. And this would be the opportunity for senators to do their job. The job doesn't stop until you vote it out or until your term expires. I intend to do my job between now and January 20th, 2017. I expect them to do their job. All right.
Critical part here. They're coming out to talk about Russia.
Thank you, Mr. President. Following up on that, should we interpret your comments now that you're likely to be a moderate nominee? Would you?
No.
Okay.
I don't know where you found that. you shouldn't assume anything about the qualifications of nominee, other than they're going to be well qualified. Okay.
Following up, yeah. Would you consider a recess appointment if their nominee is not granted a hearing?
I think that we have more than enough time to go through regular order, regular process, and I intend to nominate somebody, to present them to the American people, to present them to the Senate. I expect them to hold hearings. I expect there to be a vote. Full stop.
And lastly, while we're doing this in a row, how do you respond to Republican criticism that your position is undercut by the fact that you and other members of your administration who were in the Senate at the time tried to pull up the judge?
You know, look, I think what's fair to say is that how judicial nominations have evolved over time is not historically the fault of any political. This has become just one more extension of politics. And there are times where folks are in the Senate and they're thinking, as I just described, primarily about, is this going to cause me problems in the primary? Is this going to cause me problems with supporters of mine? And so people take strategic decisions, I understand. But what is also true is Justice Alito is on the bench right now. I think that historically, if you look at it, regardless of what votes particular senators have taken, there's been a basic consensus, a basic understanding that Supreme Court's different. And each caucus may decide who's going to vote where, what, and it gets worse and worse each year. And it's not something that I have spent a huge amount of time talking about, because frankly, the American people on average, they're more interested in gas prices, wages, and issues that touch on their day-to-day lives in this direct way. So it doesn't get a lot of political attention. But this is the Supreme Court. And it's going to get some attention. And we have to ask ourselves as a society a fundamental question, are we able to still make this democracy work the way it's supposed to, the way our founders envisioned? I would challenge anyone who purports to be adhering to the original intent of the founders, anybody who believes in the Constitution, coming up with a plausible rationale as to why they would not even have a hearing for a nominee made in accordance with the Constitution by the President of the United States, with a year left practically in office. Pretty hard to find that in the Constitution. All right? You've gotten at least, you've gotten forward that, right? So look.
Key point. Listen, everyone.
There's going to be a lot of questions here. How about it? You asked me a big question right there. How about I just answer that? All right. First of all, if you look back at the transcripts, what I said was that Russia has been propping up our proposition higher. The fact that Putin finally had to send his own troops and his own aircraft and his and invest this massive military operation was not a testament to great strength. It was a testament to the weakness of a God's position. That if somebody's strong, then you don't have to send in your army to prop up your ally. They have legitimacy in their country, and they're able to manage it themselves, and then you have good relationships. You send in your army when the force you're backing isn't effective. And that's exactly what happened. Now, what I said was that Russia would involve itself in a quagmire. Absolutely it will. If there's anybody who thinks that somehow the fighting ends because Russia and the regime have made some initial advances, about three-quarters of the country is still under control of folks other than Assad. That's not stopping anytime soon. So I say that, by the way, with no pleasure. This is not a contest between me and Putin. The question is, how can we stop the suffering, stabilize the region, stop this massive out-migration of refugees who are having such a terrible time, end the violence, stop the bombing of schools and hospitals, and innocent civilians, stop creating a safe haven for ISIS. And there's nothing that's happened over the last several weeks that points to those issues being solved. And that is what I mean by a quagmire. Now, Putin may think that he's prepared to invest in a permanent occupation of Syria with Russian military. That's going to be pretty costly. That's going to be a big piece of business. And if you look at the state of the Russian economy, that's probably not the best thing for Russia. What would be smarter would be Russia to work with the United States and other parties in the international community to try to broker some sort of political transition. John Kerry, working with his Russian counterpart, has on paper said that there's going to be a cessation of hostilities in a few days. This will test whether or not that's possible. It's hard to.
Okay, I hope you caught what he just said there. In so many words, told Russia that you should be doing what we say. We want Assad out, and then not only stop, you know, harboring and giving refuge to ISIS. You don't see ISIS driving around with Russian trucks. You see them driving around with trucks commonly found here in the United States. You don't see them having Russian tactics. You see them having American tactics. They don't have all my, it's ridiculous with this whole thing, but it's some very, very important things that were just said here and is being said. He just said in the next few days, major events. They tell you everything. And this was last week. And this weekend, there was a series of suicide bombings. And then they have to believe that there's going to be some major couple of events that are coming. So let's finish this up. We only got like 2 minutes more of this, and then I'll open up the lines for your call, Brother Braggs. Hold on 1 sec. Here we go.
That's possible. It's hard to do because there's been a lot of bloodshed. And if Russia continues indiscriminate bombing of the sort that we've been seeing, I think it's fair to say that you're not going to see any.
Wait, and then he talked about bombing hospitals and everything else. The U.S. has been doing that for years. U.S. illegally invaded Iraq. In the bombing of the school, how about the schools, Doctors Without Borders school? That they said, no, we didn't do it. And then, oh, yeah, we did. Oh, it was a mistake. And there's no way in the world that you could have had a mistake on an airstrike. This is, and then now they're saying that Russia's economy can't endure this. Haha. Russia has no debt, but their economy is hurting. So what are they doing? They are pushing the envelope. And they're pushing the envelope for the destruction economically here, and they're winning. But let's finish this up.
I'm going to see a take up by the opposition. And yes, Russia is a major military.
Listen.
A bunch of rebels are not going to be able to keep with the hardware of the second most powerful military in the world. But that doesn't solve the problem of actually stabilizing the troops. And the only way to do that is to bring about some sort of political transition. We will see what happens over the next several days. And we will continue to work with our...
We will see what happens over the next couple and several days. The only way that this is... The rebels can't beat... They don't have the hardware to beat the second most powerful military in the world. And the only thing that's going to happen is a transition. Now, what did Putin say about that? Any form of somebody trying to get rid of Assad is an act of war against Russia. This is where they're telling you everything. And he said in the next few days. So let's see in the next few days and in a week what happens. They tell you everything.
To work with our partners who are focused on defeating ISIS, to also see how we can work together to try to bring about a more lasting political solution than aerial bombardment of schools and hospitals. But it's hard. I'm under no illusions here that this is going to be a country has been shattered because Assad was willing to shatter and has repeatedly missed opportunities.
Like Gaddafi.
Private political transition, and Russia has been party to that entire process. And the real question we should be asked is, what is it that Russia thinks it means if it gets a country that's been completely destroyed as an ally, that it now has to potentially spend billions of dollars to stop that?
And the real question is, what is it that the United States thought that they were going to gain? It's all the same thing. It's the gas lines, the resources that's there. U.S. doesn't try to overthrow countries that don't have any resources. They put them on a debt system, credit card, make them pay their slaves' wage. For a country with assets, they try to colonize and take to enslave the rest of the world. So what is it that Russia thinks that they're going to get? Well, the real question is, if you say that, then what is it that you're after in Syria? Why did you destabilize it? Why was there a lie with the Free Syrian Army, which is nothing free and nothing Syrian about it, said that they were using weapons of mass destruction and they tried to make a coalition to bomb and to have airstrikes against the Assad government. So why are you worried about when you struck the first blow to seize that because you knew it was there? And it's a strategical play for the Middle East. And that is important for the next control of the economy that won't be based in debt, but will be based in resources. And the debt is blowing up. And that is the overall lynch and foundation of the American petrodollar and American reserve and American hegemony as the reserve currency. Got like 2 minutes left in this, and then we're going to go open up the line.
Well, that's not that great class. Unfortunately, the problem is that it has spillover effect. One thing that I do want to add, though, this has not distracted us from continuing to focus on ISIS. And we continue to cut them hard, both in Iraq and Syria. That will not stop. And if we can get a political transition in Syria, that allows us to coordinate more effectively with not just Russia, but other countries in the region, to focus on the folks who pose the greatest direct threat to the United States. Andrew Beattie.
Last thing, isn't it amazing how you said that ISIL wouldn't be able to compete with Russian hardware in their economy? I mean, their military. They won't be able to compete with them. But ISIS has been, before the Russians engaged, ISIS has been competing and beating the U.S. military, because the U.S. military had never really engaged them. The tricks of the trade. So that being said, I'm going to open up the phone lines. If you have any questions or comments, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 5490-32 pound and hit star 61. I will definitely bring you up. We got someone in queue. Want to go to them right now. Welcome, caller, to Tango Radio Show. What is your name, where are you calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Peace, peace, Dave. How you doing today?
Peace, peace, Brother Bragg. What's going on? Good to hear your voice.
Right, all right. Hey, man, listen. I listened to everything you said, right on point as usual, man. Listen, I was just thinking when you did that last statement, ISIS, man, that's Israeli Security Agency, man. Come on, man.
Yep.
Stop playing. Stop playing.
Right.
We got to start thinking, you know, out of the box, man, way out of the box, and not let people just tell us any damn thing. And that's all I can say on that, man, because they got people. I was watching Hillary Clinton, man. I don't never watch that, but I watched the other day. I had to turn it off, man. When you see people stand up there and lie, 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 you know that you've been incarcerated, that you're the greatest problem of mass incarceration in America. Your family helped create that. But you're
right.
Telling people that you're coming to help. And people are believing that. People are,
yeah.
They got these church people running out to endorse her, man. Come on, man. Golly.
Yeah.
I'm not against my church brothers, but please, please think.
Know
please
the history.
Think.
Know the, do some research. Stop just believing where the political dollars are flowing as the truth, because that is the deception,
man,
of it all.
Please think about it. Think about what you're doing. Look, do some research on what she really done. You know what? The other thing that kills me, these people go to these elite schools. You got to look into the background of these elite colleges.
Ooh,
find
yeah,
the ideology that they teach these people. Then you'll start really peaking game. Because that's what, man.
Yeah.
See, you got to see it. Once you do it, I won't have to tell you nothing else. I won't have to say nothing else. See who founded these schools. The money that founded these schools. Where did they get it from? Oh, my goodness, man. It'll wake you up.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. Man, Brother Bragg, man, we need to do a show this week sometime. Whenever you have a chance, let's put something together for everyone, because your insight, just like Brother Davis, is so critical to everything, especially for what's coming, and it's so needed for us all.
Man, listen, chemtrails, bro. You know I'm hot on that trail, don't you? Man,
let's do that. Whatever it is, because it's so important. Because this is part of that, basically. It's aerosol spraying the soft kill policy.
The aerosol is the delivery system. And that's why I keep saying, I've been watching these delivery systems on 60 Minutes since I was like 12, 11 years old, man. Different delivery systems. When they first talked about the AIDS, I probably was like, I think I was like 13 or something, or 12. And they were talking about germicidal warfare, things that will kill people and will not destroy the land and the buildings.
Mm. Yep.
Just think about what I'm saying. They want the land.
Determination.
They don't care how they get the land. Wipe the people from the land.
Yep.
Once you start doing a little study, you're going to see that this is a historical event that's been going on and on.
Exactly.
We need you to add your mind of the great seekers to the equation.
Mm.
Everybody needs to be seeking so that we can all bring a little bit or something to the table, because each one can teach one, believe it or not. We can.
The extermination program continues. Sister said, I can't hear the video. Oh, sorry about that, Sister Watkins.
It was a little muffled, man. It was a little muffled.
It was probably a little low, but we'll try to get it a little bit. Thanks for telling me. It was a little low. But hey, let's go to a commercial break real quick, and then I want to start this other video, real important, tell you something about Venezuela, and we're going to come back and probably carry this over because this all goes together. We'll get this, it was probably just a little low, but it was just probably the quality of the overall video and everything else, but we'll get it. I will post it inside of Tando so that you can actually hear it for yourself if it was low. Very, very important. Good looking out. Thank you so much for letting me know, Sister Watkins. So, all right, everyone, getting ready to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Attention, everyone.
Join me, Zion, every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Shifting Paradigms right here on Black Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk. Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I want to jump into this next video real quick, and this is about Venezuela. What's really going on in Venezuela? There's a couple ones we'll extend this, but I want to play this one first. Right now, Venezuela, check out that one article. What's going on? Venezuela, last week, in the past couple of weeks, has been saying that they have a food emergency. Now the government is telling their citizens to start having their own gardens and everything else. This is what happens as your economy deteriorates. The value of their currency was debased and devalued by 37% last week. Just from what does that mean? Last week, their dollar, let's say you have $1. Now that $1 was only having the purchasing power of 63 cents instead of a dollar. And this is what's going to continue to happen. And it's not something that you can look at Venezuela and saying, oh, that happens there. It is going to happen here even more dramatically than in Venezuela. This gives you the clue of why it is that you need to appropriately prepare for what's coming, because it is essential, because once it starts, wherever you are, you may most likely be locked in that situation. You need to prepare when no one else is looking. So let's go to this. It's going to talk about Venezuela as far as what's going on in Venezuela. You'll see a common theme here. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
Venezuela in a global setting there.
Thank you. I know it's getting late. We have a storm upon us. I'll keep it short. Yes, so that I think it's really going to be important for us to have some time to have a bit of a Q&A, a bit of a discussion here, because really, in a sense, we're sort of already kind of here all on the same page, and I don't think that I need to convince anybody here about the importance of Venezuela. We came out on a Friday night right before a snowstorm, so obviously you care as much as we all do. So I just want to give a little bit of an overview, some of the important issues, some of the larger geopolitical issues, I think, that are in play when we're talking about Venezuela, what's happening in Latin America, and why this is all important. So let me just begin very quickly by pointing something out that I think often or too often is left out of the discussion of Venezuela, and that is this little thing called colonialism. And U.S. colonialism and U.S. imperialism in Latin America has a very, very, very long and very sordid history. And Venezuela is in many ways the center of that, especially in the 20th century. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the old 1950s newsreels or documentaries about development in Venezuela, but it's fascinating. It's, you know, usually, you know, some narrator comes on and he says, come this small isolated country in Latin America is really exploding in growth. You see the oil production, you see more oil production, and oil production is really what we're talking about here. You know, and Venezuela was made into essentially an oil colony of the United States. And to a large extent, that's how it operated for decades. Now, the reason I bring that up is because we have to understand what the Bolivarian Revolution and what Hugo Chavez means in relation to U.S. imperialism. It means the first time that a Latin American country since, you know, let's say since the CIA assassinations and coups of the 1950s, the first time that a country in Latin America was able to break free of the imperial system and to set a course for itself, a course of development a course of independent political, economic, social, and cultural development that was not beholden to U.S. imperialism, that was not even beholden to global capitalism, with the exception, of course, of oil and global oil markets, which, of course, plays a central role in how Venezuela is able to function. Unfortunately, the legacy of U.S. colonialism left Venezuela with an oil-dependent economy, and the Venezuelan people and Hugo Chavez and the Bolivarian Revolution was forced into a position of having to harness that in order to develop the country. So when people say, oh, you see, Venezuela is just this one-dimensional oil economy, you know, they don't do anything, they don't produce anything, they got nothing happening, they're just sitting on their oil money. The question you have to ask then is, well, why? Why is their economy set up that way, and who set it up that way? What people often forget is that the Venezuelan people have only controlled their oil for roughly 13 years. It's not a very long time. Certainly not long enough to be able to build up an infrastructure that can resist global capitalist forces. Very difficult to operate in a climate of economic and political hostility. And that really is how Venezuela's been operating. And despite all of that, Venezuela is the vanguard of anti-imperialism in Latin America. Without Venezuela and without Hugo Chavez, there most likely would be no Evo Morales, there would be no Rafael Correa, there would be no Daniel Ortega, there would be no left in Latin America, period. And so when we talk about Venezuela and we talk about the importance of Venezuela, we also have to talk about what Venezuela means for the rest of Latin America and what Venezuela means for those of us around the world who call ourselves anti-imperialists, who say that we are in a struggle against global imperialism. Venezuela means far more than just one country. Venezuela represents an idea. And that's what the Bolivarian Revolution really is. Okay, it is an idea. It is a process. And that's something that is difficult for a lot of people to grasp. And that was even something that, as Isolina was telling us, is even difficult for a lot of people in Venezuela, including a lot of Chavistas, to keep in mind that this is a process and that they've only been independent, quote unquote, for less than 2 decades, which is a very short time in the grand scheme of things. So this is leadership. That's what Venezuela has been providing in Latin America. That's why I don't want to speak for Caleb, but I would assume Caleb would agree. That's why, for me, Venezuela was such an important issue. That's why it was so central to my own political development these last 17 years. That's why Venezuela matters. Now, there's another force.
Okay, everyone, I'm going to hold it there so that we can open up our lines to callers. If you have a question or comment that you would like to make, please give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032, pound, hit star 61. I hope that you picked up something there. Venezuela is the black community at large, and we haven't been able to progress in the things because we've been trying to progress in a politically hostile environment, a politically, socially, and economically hostile environment. And not only that, probably one of the most important things in that environment is that we've been trying to make deals with those that have always enslaved. And we expect something different than the result that we know that we've gotten every time. And within our community, it's so important that we understand that you're going to have to develop yourself by not using the same consciousness that developed the tyranny that you had to rebel against, that you had to turn your energy away from, that you had to say, no, I will not participate, that you had to make ultimate human physical sacrifice for, to stand for your moral convictions, because you would not compromise your morality for another man's agenda, regardless of how much he offered you in the form of manly, worldly comforts. It was your soul that you were going to be losing.
And it's so important that we understand that that's exactly what's going on here and has been done through infiltration at the highest level. This is why we haven't progressed one way. We've been under this domestic terrorism and domestic violence for years. And it's the true meaning of domestic violence is where you call your home, where you expect there to be peace. But there's violent confrontation and there's violent suppression and there's violent oppression and violent exclusion and disenfranchisement. With Venezuela, you know anything about Hugo Chavez, and you will know about Hugo Chavez, a young mixed kid from the ghetto, some of the poorest areas within, a black man from the poorest areas within Venezuela. And it's so funny when you talk to people today, they tell you the first thing, you ask them where they're from and they'll tell you a country, and they're already invoking the control of that government over you. This is why when you see black people all over this planet, you should acknowledge them as being black, even if they don't acknowledge themselves. I was talking to one brother and I said, where are you from? I said, what's up, brother? He said, I'm not a brother. I'm from this one country. Because I don't want to bring a bad light to this one country. So many times we identify ourselves not as being human or melaninated, but we'll identify ourselves by some creed and authority of a flag that no longer has never had serves you in a doctrine that is against you. How perfect the slave we have become. We've mastered our captivity. So let's open up the phone lines real quick for some of the brothers and sisters that are there. If you'd like to comment or you have a question or comment, just give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. Here we go. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name? What is your name? Where you're calling from? And what is your question or comment?
Hey, it's Brother Davis, man. Excellent show.
Brother Davis, what's going on? Yes, sir.
It is about time that the magnitude of people in the world begin to understand that the color of the versatility is people of African Orient. We have to understand the importance of of being a part of the greater whole. A lot of our people who are African descent still call themselves Latino. But now even the Latinos are waking up to the fact that they were African descent.
Yeah.
If you look at the numbers in Venezuela, 80 to 90% of those people are of African descent. And they never put that face on Venezuela. And if you want to go South America, we can go from Venezuela, Argentina, Brazil, Peru, Lima, all of them, all of these are people of color. And these people have lost control of the circumstance that they're in due to Caucasian supremacy. And that is changing as they begin to wake up to the spiritual nature of who they truly are. So excellent show, brother. Excellent show. And you know, the best part about this is that even those who were thinking contrary have to understand this, that what is happening isn't just happening in one part of the world.
That's right.
It's happening all over the world. And just like it's happening all over the world, understand who the Davidians are in India. Understand that in Japan, you cannot be a Bushido so-called samurai, unless you had black blood.
Black blood. That's right.
Absolutely. So as we begin to develop our understanding of what consciousness really is, understand the magnitude of the history so that you can really engulf the essence and which is the role you play. Because there is something required of us all. And we must meet that requirement in order for us to move back to the proper position that was selected for us from the very beginning, because we weren't the first for nothing. All right, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna resend myself, brother. Your show is excellent, and I'm gonna tell you, man, I'm hoping people are beginning to wake up and understand the magnitude of the message that you're giving, because at this stage of the game, we should be running, because all of these here programs that are running around us are insignificant to the simplicity of the message that you are sending. So peace, brother. I'm gonna sit back in the room and listen.
Peace. Thank you so much, Brother Davis. And God willing, Brother Davis, Wednesday we'll have his show, and we'll let you know once Brother Davis is finds out what his schedule will be, and we will definitely have the show. And so many people have commented, and thank you, Brother Davis, for that show. And they wanted me to express that to you, that they truly, truly, sincerely love hearing Wise Wednesdays. And thank you for all that you and Sister Davis are doing, Brother Davis.
I received that, and I'm working on Wednesday's show. I just haven't found a appropriate title for it, but I'll get back to you on it.
Yes, sir. We're looking forward to it. So great, great comment, as always, Brother Davis, chiming in, and glad that you did. We got another caller in queue. Let's go to this caller. Welcome, caller, to Tango Radio Show. What is your name and where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Yeah, this is Brother John Moo. I'm calling from Atlanta. And I got a couple different
– go ahead.
Oh, I'm doing like it. I got a couple different comments for you, Brother Dave,
yes,
on a couple different fronts. I've been doing a lot of talking about repatriation, and especially with a group of brothers and different people I've talked about. How do you feel about the topic of repatriation, especially when you talk about the concept of preparedness? Knowing a different lay of land over in Africa, I'm looking at an African country. What do you feel about that in terms of creating a homestead outside of the states in terms of preparation?
I think it's a, I think that they really try to give us the delusion that we need to repatriate somewhere. Everywhere is Africa. If you look at and I'm going to tell you from this standpoint, if you look at how the continents are divided and how they brokered off and how they fractured off, they've all fractured off from one center piece, and that's known as the continent of Africa. If you look at South America, it broke off from Africa. That's why it has that shape. If you look at Europe, and if you look at Asia, it's broken off from Africa. So everywhere has been and always will be Africa, because our overall traversing of the lands of this earth, which is really terror, and it's a part of us being a part of terror, is black. And so the whole world is Africa. But as far as the continent that they call Africa, there are other names for it that are more historical. I have no problem with going back to places that are governed by, but a lot of those places are under the colonialistic control of outside entities. But one of the things in today's world, and you said from preparation standpoint, I'm going to say this, it's very, very dangerous to right now to be moving somewhere that you're not familiar with from this standpoint. One, there's so many things that you have to factor in. One, you have to factor in, what is their economy based off of? What is their geopolitical affiliation? Do they have a central bank of the world? And this is very significant from this standpoint being this. If you're going to a country, if you're going to repatriate to another country within Africa that is tied into the central banking system that is here, they have a central bank of this such and such country, you might want to really think twice about it, because when that currency is based off the strength of the dollar, is also either directly or indirectly pegged to the dollar. So when the dollar collapses, you will have a problem in that country being able to sustain yourself. And not only that, those people there will look at you as a part of those that caused the problems that they had, because propaganda is very strong everywhere. And I'm not saying that the people of Africa, because everyone that I've met from Africa, they're waiting for us to arrive. But right, I would say before we arrive, we have to build Africa here. Why here? Because, brother, you grew up here. You know everything around here. You know the land. You need to know yourself so that you, before you know your enemy. And I would say the extension of Africa is not one continent. The extension of Africa is in your heart and where you decide to root your foundation and to grow from there. It's so, so important. And this is not just going against people that are not African descendants, because pretty much everyone is. The most right. important thing is that we have to separate ourselves from that division, because what Africa was sustainable, the economy, the ecosystem that God created. What we really need to repatriate ourselves to is exactly that. But by you making a physical move to that, to another country, I think there are many, many things that you have to factor in. And those are some of the things you have to factor in. Because
I was looking at also, go ahead.
I'm going to get you, because you have to remember, if you haven't established, if now if you have family members that's been there for the past 10, 20 years, you already have indoctrinated yourself into the culture, and the culture has a knowledge or allowed you to come in, because strangers are always ones to mistrust. People don't trust right. strangers. So I think there is a timeline, and I think for what's going on in the world right now, we are on the precipice of global nuclear war. And guess what? When resources get tight in the country, and you come with your American tongue and your American accent, the first thing that they see is that you caused this, and there are people that will be directly killed because of this. And they're going to look at those individuals from those countries as those as the perpetrators and the portrayers of death. Because this is what you do with control of people. Hate has an expiration date. So what they do is they move the hate, because we haven't grown ourselves enough to realize that we're playing a game that they set the rules for, and they're ruling. So, but otherwise, yes, brother, you can do whatever, and we would support and love you for it and expect you to do well in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One more question, Brother Day. I'm interested in, this is kind of on another subject, I'm interested in an express trust or a complex trust, and I'm wondering if you have some resources that you recommend anybody who's looking to kind of move from the public side, kind of slide over to the private side. Do you have any recommendations or any resources or anybody that can assist in that path of completing a express trust or some type of complex trust?
You know what? Yeah, you know what you do, Brett? Text me and call me, and I will get some of that information to you. Because,
okay.
Yeah, especially now, there's a lot of things that are changing, and the overall global network, financing network, and the global business network is shifting. There is tectonic movement. There are earthquakes, financial earthquakes, that are destabilizing everything as we speak, because they've been actually generated by man itself. It's a very, very critical and crucial time, business-wise also. So reach out to me, 951-790.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
8330. Yes, sir. Hotep, Brother David.
Yes, sir. Hotep. Much love, much respect. Keep listening, my man.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, we getting ready to close out the show. Great, great call. Great, great question. As you all, well, let me go to Brother Bragg just before, or one more. Brother Bragg, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave.
Bro, we got, I need 2 minutes, and we got 2 minutes for you. What, from what you've heard today, what would you like to leave the listeners with? And then, we're going to have a show with you sometime this week, and then periodically from whenever you have time, Brother Brett, because, you know, like Brother Davis, everyone always asks me where you are, and they love Brother Bragg and the way you think and how you dedicated yourself. They call you, and I like to call you, some people have called you the living library, and I absolutely love that. That's cool. So, but go ahead, Brother Brad, go ahead.
My mind was on a few topics. You know, when you mentioned Tevez, he was uncontrollable. He did things for that country. He brought education, he brought medical in. gave them a standard of living. They were doing
their own goal.
She repatriated their goal, and he suddenly became ill. So, you know, that's the conspiracy theorist in me. I'm saying, you know, just like this justice that just passed away. I didn't much care for him. I don't know if they took him out or not. I'm not even going to speculate. But it just seemed kind of fishy that all of a sudden he is the chair that stands in the way of a key piece on the chessboard, and that piece just falls off. That easy. So it's deep, man. It's deep.
The more you look into
a bunch of stuff, that conspiracy theorist nonsense is nonsense. It's people thinking critically about whatever.
So
I'm
true,
say
brother.
Peace on that, dude. That's all I'm gonna say. All I want my brothers and sisters to do is think critically. And just one more thing. Remember, this place is linked directly to Africa, just like you was telling. If you go on the chakra points, the points that run from here to Africa, every last one of these pyramids down in Mississippi, in India, in Antarctica, wherever these pyramids, they all line up to Africa, here in America and Africa over there in the Giza, the three pyramids. So all of this is connected. And don't forget this too. All these lands had indigenous black people on them before any Caucasian outsider pilgrim ever stepped foot on the land. You're home wherever you go. Know where you at. Peace.
Peace, peace. Well said, brother. Well said, Brother Bragg. So, okay, everyone, I just want to say we're getting ready to end the show, but listen, if you'd like to get in on the membership for the membership training, is $25 a month. If you don't, if you find out something that is not for you, you can end it at any time. There's no contract, nothing like that at all. You just stop paying, and that's fine, because I don't believe in contracts. I believe in giving out the information that we possibly can for your benefit of yourself and your family, especially in these times. $25 a month, you get the precious metals training class, and you will get the preparedness class with that. Great, great value for what it is, especially for this time. Also, if you need to fire your boss, if you need to actually add additional streams of revenue into your home, you can learn the Forex trading, and that is something that can never be taken away from you. As you learn, you could have never done it before, but the system, the proprietary systems that are in place, will allow you to earn as you learn. And that is for $200 a month initial setup fee, and then it's $150 a month, but that $150 can be mitigated once you bring in three other people. Then that takes care of that, is a credit that's given to you, so you don't have to worry about it. So you'll be trading for free with the overall system. And this system is being used by many of people throughout the world, and they are creating great, large, and deep streams of revenue generating coming into the house. But for us, we would use these, and I would suggest, and I would say to you, make sure that these funds come in and you become a prodigious saver. Don't become a consumer. Learn the system, allow it to work for you, and you be a saver, so that at the appropriate time, you can use it as leverage for your overall prosperity for the people that you have yet not named. This is how you get prosperity that has been lost back into our control, under our hands. The system that they devise, you can use it for your overall benefit and be absent of, and to actually hedge yourself against the economic collapse that they're going to have against the common man's economy. And how do you do that? You can go to www.imarketswithasliveinternational.com. That's imarketswithasliveinternational.com. And just hit the IVO member and sign up from there, and everything will be there. And if, once you do that, you can contact me and can help you out. The brother that contacted me today, forgot to tell you, need to call me back, because there were some other things I needed, for you to do so that you can be on your way and have, your family, your son ready for trading. Didn't want to give out any names. So, you're almost there, but there's a couple of things I need to get to you and tell you about. Okay. All right, everyone. Just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. And remember, it's never goodbye. It's always, I'll see you later. And it's a pleasure just to be in these moments with you. Never goodbye. I'll see you later. Much love, much respect. And before you ask for a blessing, remember, remember to be a blessing. Peace.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. You know tenderness comes from pain.